Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings. This is author Nazim Rashid on Another Day in Paradise. Yes, Nazim Abdul Rashid, Another Day in Paradise. I hope everybody out there is doing just as well as I am doing here, enjoying God's great creation as I look outside. Fantastic, wonderful day. We're going to have a great show today as I continue my talk on improving, repairing, preparing for marriages, and this is part 15. How about that? Part 15. So I encourage everyone to go to the archives, blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Again, Imam Alfred. You scroll down, do you see my picture there and the title, Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages, and get all the installments. Have them in your library. We need all the tools we can get for successful marriages. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Y'all that like to marry over and over and over, hoping the next one will fix the problems you experienced in the last one. Huh? Fix the problems. Yeah, remember, you say fix the, not your. So you always blame the other person for the problems. Yeah, you want to fix the problems. Well, see, that's the problem right there when you think somebody's going to fix you, huh? Or fix it. No. That's why we have to spend a lot of time in the mirror. We have to fix ourselves. Be happy as an individual first before you go into that sacred, covenant of marriage. Beforehand. Absolutely. Yes, well, I'm author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And this book can be bought on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and the e-book fashion also. If you have a Kindle or a Nook, and the paperback version, 412 pages. 14 chapters is available there, about $20 there. You go on my site, cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. All right? And I could send it to you personally and mail it to you. All right, what we have been doing in this series is breaking down the tiny little bits of tools, tiny bits of information needed for successful, happy, fun-filled marriages. Yeah, I said fun-filled. You should be happy. Don't go into marriage all grumbled. God says I need to do this. Okay, I guess I'll do this. And you find a sister, said the same. I guess God says I got to do this, so I guess I got to do this. And okay. It's like the dress. Some of the women have a certain dress style. They don't like it. They wear it anyway. They say, God says I got to dress like this. Okay. It doesn't work. God does not want you to be depressed. No, wants you to feel wonderful, happy, light. Yes, absolutely. So we're trying to give you all the tools we can so you have a fantastic time being married. Yes. As you're driving home, just knowing that you're about to see your wife or about to see your husband, you feel good inside, just knowing you're getting closer and closer, closer. And when you go into that door and see him or her, you say, yes, God is good. And you embrace one another, it feels good. As you embrace, now you're one. Yes, you're one happy, fantastic, productive unit. Yes. All right, so last time we were talking about how addictions and character defects affect the marriages. Mm-hmm. God break this down. And I'm actually reading and expounding from the recovery portion I have in the book, and called 12 Principles of Recovery. And I'm taking the aspects that relate to a happy marriage, what we don't want and what we do want. Okay? Because first you have to identify what you have already that's not working for you. I call it the character defects. Identify with that and then say, I don't want that anymore. And then we talk about what you replace it with. Okay, it's one thing to say, I don't want to be jealous anymore. We got to replace it with something else, right? Love, right? All right, so we're going to talk about that today. All right, last time we left off on hatred as a character defect. Hatred. A lot of us go into marriages with a hatred kind of energy about us. We hate certain things. We hate our last relationship. Or hate our mother or our father. We bring that hate energy into the marriage. Now, at first, you cloud it over with all this fun and excitement. Oh, we're doing things for God's sake. Oh, we're just wonderful. It's fantastic. Oh, called the infatuation period. Called the probation period. Yeah. Yeah. But the least little thing she does or least little thing he does, and what happens? Comes out. You know, and, before you know it, you're possessed. That's what hatred is. It's a form of possession. Yeah, you see red and just, who knows what you might do. You might destroy him or her or yourself or destroy the house, throw stuff around, abuse, knock him or her down. All kinds of possibilities are in the area of hatred. You don't want to ever internalize the spirit of hatred, ever. It's only self-destructive. Don't do it. Okay? All right, first we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the positive counterpart. That's what I was doing the past couple of weeks. Talk about the character defect, again, what you don't want. We have to clearly identify that and then replace it, in this case, with love unconditionally. All right? All right, the hatred is the next devolved level of anger. Hear me, devolved level of anger. Anger is an emotion and or feeling that has potential for harm when left unattended. Hear me now. You feel angry at someone, and what do you do next? Do you let the feeling stay in your consciousness, fester and build up? Do you examine your feelings, ask yourself the proper questions, and rechannel that negative feeling into something productive or dissipate it entirely? Do you let your intellectual frontal lobe part of your brain dominate? Oh, yeah, we have that. Or do you let your emotional limbic part of the brain get the best of you? Yeah, animals don't have that. Human beings are the only ones that have this frontal lobe where we can decipher, distinguish, have discretion as to what we allow in and what is not okay to let in. Oh, yeah. The dogs, cats, bears, tigers, you know, the rest of the animals of the world do not possess this ability to decipher like the human being. See, we have this enormous ability to decide what is best for us after examining all the options available to us. Yeah. Too many of us choose to stay locked up in the limbic section that is shared by the animal kingdom. Did you know that? Wow. Now, y'all who know about the recovery process know about X factor, right? X factor of addictions. That's that factor in the bloodstream, you know? But myself, I have the X factor of addiction. My family on both sides have addictions going on. So if they passed along to me, you know, so I've got the X factor of addictions. I went through it myself. Yeah, I was addicted myself. I went through a 12-step program and came up on the other end, a Muslim. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I know the X factor of addiction is there for many of us. However, with knowledge and an understanding of the universal law of cause and effect and the law of attraction, we can make better choices for ourselves despite the X factor whispering negative thoughts to us. Anger left untreated can devolve into hatred. Hatred is blinding and very damaging to you and others. Hatred destroys and kills. Hatred is considered a mental disorder by some psychologists. Did you know that? When murder occurs, we've seen this on TV, especially those who love those cop shows. When a murder occurs and the killer admits being blinded by his hate toward the victim, some doctors and lawyers have tried to say that they did not know what they were doing. They go on to say that they were not mentally cognizant, thereby not being responsible for the crime. Oh, yeah, y'all know about this. Racism breeds hatred. During slavery and afterwards, many Caucasians had a hatred toward any race that did not look like them in a lot of cases. Yeah. This hate fueled the mistreatment the African-Americans and other minority races received. The KKK and other racist organizations were all built on the shared hate some Caucasians had and some still have. Since hatred is blinding to the rational senses, it is somewhat easier to understand how they could drag a black man by a rope around his neck behind a speeding pickup truck. These people then hang that same dying or dead person, light a fire beneath them, and have a picnic right there, smiling, laughing, and celebrating with their families, pointing to a burning figure with glee and excitement. You can bet that a vast majority of those criminals against humanity were addicts themselves. Alcohol and drugs dull enough for the brain's reasoning ability. So, with the reasoning ability being diminished, a crime on this level becomes possible. This level of hatred has affected the victim community as well. Many minority communities have lost their humanity as well and want nothing more than to inflict harm on the ruling class. Mm-hmm. Just look at what some so-called Muslim groups overseas are doing right now as they are looking forward to being chosen by their leaders to be the next suicide bomber. You know, something chosen. Many minority groups in this country just let anger settle into depression and lose the will to succeed in life. Why bother, they say? They aren't going to let us do anything anyway. Where's my bottle? And there they go, drinking again. All right? Now, that's hatred. Y'all got that now, huh? Not easy to, very easy to understand because a lot of us have lived a lot of these realities, unfortunately. Yeah, for sure. Now, remember I talked about the positive counterpart. What's the flip side to that coin? Love unconditionally. All right. Now, like I said before, we identify is there. We don't want it. You say, God, I don't want it. Now, replace it with what? Love unconditionally. Okay. Now, even though a lot of people can identify with the hatred, a lot of us cannot identify with this love unconditionally. That's what, inshallah, God willing, I want to convince you to identify with. Internalize what I'm saying here. You know, that's why it's important to go back and hear these archives and hear this over and over and over and over again, because I'm telling you, sometimes we can hear a message, and after about the 10th or 12th time, the light bulb comes on. We say, man, I never heard that before. Wow. Yeah, that hits me. I'm going to work on that one. You see? It's kind of like a dry ground, you know, old parched dry ground. You got this old dormant seed about a foot or so underneath that dry ground, you know? You get a first rain that comes through. Top surface loves it, but it does not penetrate to that seed. All right? So what does it take? It takes a lot of water, consistent water. Because that first level of water might dry it up and still no water gets to that seed. But after a lot of water consistently is up on top, it eventually seeps down, trickles down to that seed. And once it connects to that seed, life happens. That's how it is with us listening to these kind of messages. We have to hear them over and over again. After a while, man, identify with hatred. Now, I'm identifying with love unconditionally. I want that to be a part of my life, an integral part of my life. That's why, as a matter of fact, I'm claiming that now. Hatred has no place, no place in my subconscious. I'm kicking it out. It's done. I'm all about love unconditionally. Here we go. Learning how to love unconditionally is definitely a process that takes some understanding. There is a spirit of anger, hate, spirit of love that needs explanation. Do we have to first understand that God's spirit is in everyone? Every person that you see, regardless of their presentations, has a spirit of God within it. It is this spirit that we should love, because where God is, our love should be. As we love where God is. And where is God not? God is everywhere. So it is wise to look for the good which is the same as looking for God in everything. Hear me now. Even when we don't see any trace of God in some people, you know what I'm talking about, know that God is there anyway. Yeah, know that God is there anyway. We are always in a gratitude posture when we observe good in nature and people because God created them both, thus is there. God is present within and without everything we see and don't see. So, with this understanding, we can love unconditionally everyone. However, it does not mean that we outwardly show love to everyone. No. Some people have lost touch with their own God nature, their own humanity, and need to be put behind bars or delivered back to God. Even in the most extreme cases, we can still love the God nature in them, even though it is dormant, it has been neglected. The person and their behavioral choices have nothing to do with God being present within them and should have nothing to do with our love for that spirit. Hear me now. Yeah, we got to separate. We have to separate the spirit within them and the person we are observing. Did you get that? That's so important to understand. You know, too many times we see this bad kids on the block and all that. Then I recognize that the good is in them also. There's good in them. We can't wash them all away. You know? Yeah, folks might be acting really strange. But we have to separate them from the spirit that God has in them. You know? Yeah. We can love God. We can love people from a distance too, you know? Yeah, for sure. This is very important to understand this, you know? And, of course, this has everything to do with marriages, you know? Now, I remember for those of y'all just tuning in for the first time, I go back and forth. I talk about parenting styles and childhood experiences because this is important to understand what kind of husband or kind of wife that you're about to marry. And if you already married, what you already have in front of you. If the childhood was awful and they haven't reconciled those issues, you're going to have some problems because some of that is going to spill into your marriage. Yeah, that's why it's important. Like I always say, go to those family reunions before you get married. If you're already married, talk to those grandmothers and try to work them out, you know? Yeah. That's so important to do. All right, let me give an example here. And remember, all this has a lot to do with marriages. So when I talk about childhood and parenting styles, it has everything to do with marriages. All right, here's an example. For example, a mother can have children who are rebellious, contrary, disobedient, and just plain nerve-wracking. Is that mother supposed to hate or have uncontrolled anger directed toward them? The practical, loving mother will let her understanding and love dominate her emotions, realizing that children have their own issues at different stages of their development and that they need sometimes a firmer, stricter environment to help them control themselves, which will help them rechannel some of that high energy. Yeah, another example is they have a single mother. This mother had four children and divorced the father when the children were still very young. The children loved their father, even though he was abusive, very controlling to their mother and was unfaithful. Although 10 years of this abuse and enabling, the wife finally went through the divorce procedure. The children started to develop anger toward the mother and tried to sabotage the divorce by lying to the social workers in order for the parents to stay together. Now, the divorce was finalized, and the anger of the children, now in their early adulthood, increased. Yeah. The children, now on their own, barely speak to the mother and have dysfunctional enabling families of their own. The mother has always wanted nothing more than to have a loving family and tight bonds between everyone, but there was nothing but contention when they spoke to her. You see, Now, what disposition is his mother supposed to have? Now, I'm going to give you four examples here. You tell me what you think, okay? All right. Number one, to move on with her life now, especially since she is not responsible for them anymore. All right. Number two, to completely let go of her adult children and not let their negativity or their presence be in her life or mind. Number three, to let go of the negative emotions she is carrying from them, knowing that those emotions do not belong to her, love the God spirit within them, holding on dearly to that part of them, and not letting them physically bring their negative spirit around her. Okay, that's three. Four, to hold on to them completely the way they are, allowing their unresolved anger to burden her emotionally, calling this loving my kids. That's one, two, three, four. Okay, now you might not have caught all those. That's why it's important to hear these programs and over and over and over. All right, if you guess number three, you're correct. By respecting yourself, you are not going to allow anyone to disrespect you or your spirit. This is honoring the God spirit within you. You can love them from a distance if necessary. Perfectly fine with that. You see? Now, when number four is chosen, the spirit of addiction is very close by. With that decision, you have depression, frustration, sadness, a void in your heart, and a vacuum in your soul. This is when the spirit of addiction pays you a visit and says, "Hey, don't worry. I'm here now to take care of you. Just relax and roll up your sleeve. It's going to be all right." Whew. Got that? Okay. Oh, I forgot to tell you, for those who are tuning in, a lot of people are calling in and listening on their phones right now. If you want to ask a question or be a part of this timely discussion, just hit number one on your telephone and I'll see that and bring you on. Okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And those listening live online, I forgot to open the chat room. I'll do it right now. And so you can actually ask a question and type it on your chat board if you're listening online. Okay, so it's open right now. So those who are listening online can scroll down under my picture, under the show page, and you'll see a little block right there. And you can actually ask questions. You can post questions and or comments right there. Okay, it's open right now. All right, that's fine. Okay, now, that, again, is love unconditionally. See? Love unconditionally. Now, we talked about hatred was the character defect, right? Love unconditionally is the counterpart. Along with that, we have forgiveness. Okay? All this counters hatred. Follow me now. Counters hatred. Okay? All right. Forgiveness is sometimes interpreted completely erasing the negative situation from our mind as if it never happened, or pretending nothing happened at all and seeing the aggressor as if they did nothing wrong, thus treating them indifferently, or three, receiving mistreatment, not believing that the other person intended to hurt you, and being wide open for another attack without guard or caution. It's like turning the other cheek, right? Some people believe in that. Well, this is not the forgiveness that we need as we are in recovery and in this process of becoming the perfect mate, and certainly not the forgiveness we need to accept in any circumstances. No, no, and no again. Yeah. This kind of forgiveness is very active in codependence and those holding on to denial of the aggressor's intentions. All right? I say aggressor's intentions. No one deserves to harm you. No one deserves to hit you. No one deserves to abuse you. No one deserves to violate your personal space. If you're in a relationship and you're getting that, I don't care what's, I don't care, you might have 10, 12 kids. Get out. Get out of it. You can do it. There are programs that can help you. Absolutely. It's not good for the kids. You might say, well, the kids might miss the father if I do it. Well, how about the kids? I don't want to separate the kids from. What example are you showing in that kind of relationship with the kids? They're looking at you saying, oh, that's okay to beat your wife. Okay, I guess I'll do the same thing when I grow up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Think about these classic codependent quotes. He didn't mean to break my jaw last night. He really loves me. I've forgiven him for that minor slip. Another one. It is true that my girlfriend gave me venereal disease she received from some other man, but she didn't know what she was doing, and I've forgiven her for that mishap. Whew. How about this one? My husband was driving the car drunk again with me and our kids inside, running off the road and hitting a tree, causing us, not him, some broken bones and severe burns on the kids' faces. I know he would never hurt us knowingly and was not in his right mind, so I have forgiven him. I know he feels bad about what he did. He is a good father and husband. Another one. I know my wife was supposed to pick the kids up after school, but she was out gambling again at the casino and just forgot about them. Yeah. She didn't mean to do that and apologized after she came home 3 hours later and found out that the police brought them home and called my office saying the kids were abandoned. I have forgiven her, knowing that she is working on her gambling addiction, even though the kids feel hurt and disappointed once again. Whew. Now, you might know some people like that. I do. You see? Yeah. Whew. The forgiveness we need in this process is the kind that completely eliminates the burden of others' mishaps, mistreatments, mistakes, and other negative energy directed toward us. Forgiveness is for us, not them. Yeah, us, not them. Yeah. See, we're carrying too much burden here, you know, my beloved. Carrying way too much burden. We shouldn't carry any burden. And if you're thinking about getting married, please go in there with a clean slate, with all the past issues reconciled. You might say that's impossible. Everybody carries baggage and negative stuff. That's not true. Everybody doesn't. Just like when they saw the old Cosby Show, nobody lives like that. No one's married like that. That's not true. A lot of people are married just like that. That's not true. When you see a husband and wife happy on movies, you know, having a good time, everybody's happy, you say that's Hollywood. No one lives like that. That's not true. I have a household like that. My household is just like that. Me and my wife have a good time. Yeah. See, when you carry the guilt, shame, and hurt that someone caused you, you burn yourself, and the burn becomes a barrier to your success and achievement of your goal. See, when you forgive them for their ill behavior toward you, you are released from that suffocating energy. See, you release that spirit and set them free from your consciousness, thus allowing you to go on with your life. See? Forgiveness is about releasing. I know there's other types of forgiveness. I'm talking about this type right now, okay, for this purpose. I know other types of it out there. For this purpose, it's about you releasing, okay? Yeah. Now, we know we are free when thoughts of them do not cause pain within. We know we are free when thoughts of them do not cause our hearts to race and tension to begin. We know we are free when thoughts of them do not cause headaches to occur and nervousness to surface. We know we are free when their name is mentioned, we invoke blessings of them and wish them well, not hell. Are you getting this? Yeah, this is important. So important here, absolutely. See, we know that God's spirit is in them as in everyone. And we pray that someday they will recognize that spirit and be thankful. In the meantime, we show gratitude to God for showing us the proper way to think and behave. Yeah. Forgiveness does not mean that we act indifferently regarding their mistreatment of us. If wrong is done toward us, there's a penalty to pay in one shape or another. Oh, yeah. Forgiveness does not mean that the crime toward us is excused. We act rationally and practically and take the intelligent position always. If punishment is necessary, then a punishment is given without going beyond what is just and fair. We honor our souls when we proceed with a just and fair process of punishment payment. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. We want to stay in, matter of fact, for Muslims, it's called the fitra. We want to stay in that position. I know I'm talking to a universal audience, so I try to stay away from Islamic terminology. So I want everybody to understand and plug in. But when I say fitra, I'm talking about that God nature, that behavior that is approved by God. You see? Yeah. Acting as if you're in God's sight, and you are. Absolutely. See, we also take time to forgive ourselves for not acting on the behavior of our own souls. When we were in the position of being, we're in a position of being a codependent and otherwise enabler, we were not honoring our own souls, and we allow others to disrespect us and mistreat us. Yeah, unfortunately, our sisters, you know, some brothers too, but most of our sisters, we're in this position, you know, propping up the abusing husband. Instead of beating ourselves up for this, we just forgive ourselves, knowing that we now have new knowledge of self. And with this new knowledge, we have new accepted responsibilities. Okay? By forgiving ourselves, we are honoring our own souls, thus raising our self-esteem and image. So we got to do that. We got to spend a lot of time in the mirror, talking to ourselves, loving ourselves, forgiving ourselves. You see? Having a meeting, you know? You know what I do sometimes? I go in the mirror. You got to have fun. And have a staff meeting with yourself. Pretend there's a whole bunch of people in the mirror, all looking like you. You have a staff meeting. Well, fellas, what are we going to do today? Well, you're going to produce great work today. You're going to produce miracles. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. And you start talking to yourself and pump yourself up like your own little cheerleading squad. Yeah, yeah. See, you now have higher standards that you're not going to compromise by doing this. By forgiving yourself, you are saying to your own soul that you love yourself too much to allow hurt, disrespect, mistreatment, belittlement, and assaults to be a way of life anymore. See, when you truly forgive yourself in this manner, a protective peace shield is put around you, and thus all negative energies will no longer be attracted to you. Your standards are different now, and new standards have the kind of energy that is attracted to like energy, not opposing energy. See? Hear this. Please hear this. So loving energy you now are emitting is attracting only like loving energy in return. The old energy that used to have a welcome mat in your consciousness no longer is welcome and is repelled every time it comes near. Man, I hope you got that. But it is really something. See, this is the part we don't identify with. See, because we have such dysfunctional lives and such a turmoilous childhood, you know, we didn't see a good parenting and romantic relationships in our youth. We didn't see that. No. So it's easy to identify with the hatred piece I was talking about earlier. When I talk about forgiveness and love unconditionally, which is the counterpart to hatred, a lot of us can't identify with that. Why? Because that is not our history. Yeah, that's not our history. So we don't identify with that. I'm saying what you're going to do now, you're going to write a new script for yourself. See, this whole process I'm talking about of becoming the bright mate for a marriage is you got to rewrite the script. Hear that? You have to rewrite the script that is playing in the background. And this is how you do it. In this case, I'm talking about love unconditionally and forgiveness. Yeah. Over. That's why when I mentioned earlier about playing this installment over and over, we have to read certain paragraphs over and over and over. You got to do it because we have so many layers of negativity, so many layers of what doesn't work, you know? And this is like that water on top of that parched ground I was talking about earlier, that analogy. It takes consistency to adhere, internalize to a different message that goes against what you've always been taught and raised with. Absolutely. Like I said before, that's why it's important for you, brothers and sisters, to hear this whole thing. That's why when I say when you connect to the higher self within you, you accept nothing that does not support the higher self. Nothing. So if you're around conversations that don't support it, excuse yourself. If you're around family that doesn't support it, have minimal time there. Yes. Be around people that support the higher self within you. Yes. One of the affirmations I have on my wall right now is, I have the X factor for greatness, and I automatically am attracted toward those people, places, and events that elevate my highest potential. Woo! You know, copy that down, put that on your wall, and read that all the time. Yeah. That's so important to understand. If we're going to become a new people, we have to have new components inside. Yeah. All right. Absolutely. Okay. Again, this is Nazim Abdul-Rashid speaking to you. I'm going to take the next character defect of intolerance. Intolerance. Yeah. Yeah. Because you know where the flip side is tolerance, right? We're so intolerant. Can't stand anything. No patience. Nothing. You know? Intolerance can grow from self-pity and resentment. Yeah. I mentioned that before. Self-pity and those other character defects. Once we learn how, it becomes easy to blame others for the way we feel. You know that's right. Being intolerant is especially easy when others have different ways of thinking or living. When we're set in our ways, being very comfortable with our mannerisms, lifestyle, language, and treatment of others, we unconsciously set up accepted standards around us. If someone outside of our circle comes near or there are discussions about someone that doesn't measure up to our standards, you become intolerant of them. Intolerant. We judge them, criticize them, and put them into a box that we create labeled unacceptable. Yeah, unacceptable. You know that's right. Our standards, many times, put us on the outskirts of the majority, which brings on a certain level of frustration and disappointment. See, we see many people enjoying life, keeping a job or a business, maintaining a healthy family, laughing and getting along with friends, achieving their goals and receiving respect, and we are not able to do that. Yeah, so what's up with that? We say to ourselves, those people aren't really happy. They are all faking. They all are hypocrites. Who are they fooling anyway? I don't know how they keep acting like that, but not me. No way are you going to see me trying to be something I'm not. They are all crazy. I can't stand them, and they can't stand me. Conform to what? Their confused standards of right and wrong, the etiquettes, rules and that someone made up for them to follow, their fashions that change like the weather. They tell me how to dress and how to check my hygiene. Who are they to tell me how to be anyway? They don't like me asking for donations like I do and begging and for living the lifestyle of my choice. Who is Emily Post anyway? Where's my pipe? Where's my joint? Conversation. Sure y'all heard some of that. You know? Intolerance. Okay, intolerance. Like I said before, for those who are calling in on the switchboard, you know, like I said, you can always hit number one if you want to ask a question or be a part of this timely discussion, all right? So now that's intolerance. Intolerance, all right? All right, now, again, I keep saying this, you know, because some people might say, what does this have to do with marriage? A lot. If you're intolerant, stay single. Don't burden somebody else. Don't burden the sister and sister. Don't burden the brother. If you got this intolerant spirit still active in your consciousness, still in the pantry of your emotions, don't do it. Now, tolerance. Now, as you learn to be more accepting of others, you become more tolerant. Now, when you're in that thick cloud of addictions or abuse or controlling, you can only see what that smoky, cluttered world would allow you to see. That cloud is outside of you and inside of you and becomes your accepted culture. That's right. When you decide to live outside of that cloud, you can now accept the new life-giving culture of sobriety, thus raising your tolerance level for everything that is life-giving. Please hear that. Your standards have changed. Oh, yeah. Your vision, hearing, sense of touch and taste has all changed with your new internal environment. The things that bothered the heck out of you before don't even come near your consciousness anymore. When some of those things do come, they are mere trifles and are treated as such. As a matter of fact, when that happens, you praise God for delivering you from that old mentality, the world of darkness and gloom. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. So I really want everybody, really, I'm telling you, to plug in to this positive counterpart to this, to the character defects that I'm talking about here today. Plug into it. You know, you say you're about something new, be about that. You know? If you decide to change your name and you were, you know, John Abercrombie before, now you're Yusuf Muhammad. Well, Yusuf has a different mindset. It's no longer John. It's now Yusuf. You know? So you have to act like Yusuf. So you have to rewrite the script as to what Yusuf is all about. When Yusuf is about tolerance and love unconditionally, huh? Then there's no room for the other stuff that John was all about, because that person dead and gone. See, when you make that transformation, you leave everything behind that does not match with the new person that you have become. This is why when people, imams and preachers, talk about the good life, you know, y'all who are there because you know you should be there and there's some good in there for you, you bring in the old stuff with you. It's like you having the, you know, having yourself and John at, you know, all together there, both y'all listening. We know John's going to cancel out anything the good has to say, the preacher has to say. Yeah. He's going to say, hey, man, you know you like this. You know you like this culture, the standard. You know you like this pipe. You know you like this, you know, this way of abusing women. You know you like this. And you're not going to get it. That's why it's important to accept that which is only life-producing, health-promoting in your life, period. Don't have any compromise. Don't settle. Don't settle. And sisters, I'm talking to you also. Well, I'm talking to everybody. Don't say, well, there's only so many men out here, so I got to settle and share my man with two of the other sisters, you know. You know, if I can be a good number three, I'll be okay. Don't do that. God loves you. There's no lack in the universe. There's no lack to what God has for you and possibilities for you. Yeah, don't do that. The next negative area or the character defect I want to talk about is dishonest thinking. Dishonest thinking. Yeah. We fall victim to our own distorted sense of reality when we believe our resentments. Hear this. Yeah, this is why when liars are talking, you know, to them, they're telling the truth. You know, you can tell lies so much, so many times that you really feel, you really believe. If you took a polygraph test, you would pass it. Because in your mind, that lie is the truth because you've told that same lie over and over and over again. In your mind, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is one of the places where dishonest thinking originates. We believe our resentments. Then our thinking becomes also distorted as it is based on our distorted realities. Hear this? We don't see others or interact with others with healthy intentions, and so we think nothing of being dishonest because we see no reason to be otherwise. Our sole intention is to get high, to abuse, to control. So anything that contributes to our reality is acceptable. Anything that is contrary to our aim is unacceptable. Dishonest thinking? What's that? Huh. It might be dishonest in your mind, but where I live and operate, the word dishonesty doesn't exist. The thinking that serves my interest is the only thinking that is correct in my world. Don't you know that by now? Boy, I know people like this. I'm sure you do too. Dishonest thinking. Whew, it's really something. See, this is why, you know, when a lot of leaders talk about building community life and have problems, have fitna. I keep forgetting I'm talking to more than just Muslims out here. You have a disorder in the community. Wonder why everybody can't see the same thing you see. Their thinking is not correct. The thinking is not the same. I don't care how many lectures you get. They're holding on to old ways of thinking and believing. They go back and forth. They choose which is convenient for them at that time. So they, on the dark side sometimes, on the light side sometimes. Dark side sometimes, light side sometimes. Go back and forth. You don't know. It's like bipolar. You don't know which person you're talking to sometimes. You don't know. You know? So we're divided. And, you know, God talks about us being divided. He says, do not be divided among yourselves. Another way to see that is divided within yourself. Don't have incongruency within your own self. Be as one when you wake up and go about your whole day. Be one, not two or three. Don't do it. And don't be John and... Well, I said, yourself, don't be John and yourself at the same time. Don't have them both in the car. Have one person in the car. Yeah, the one you really want. You say you want the side of light. You say you want the side of life and productivity and fun and happiness, joy. That means you have to completely give up the world of dishonest thinking, conning, lying, hypocrisy. Huh? Greed, ego-centered. Ego orientation, I should say. You have to give those things up. Yeah, for sure. Okay? Now, we're just talking about dishonest thinking. Now, I'm going to give you what? Honest thinking. Being honest. I'm telling you, a lot of people, you know, hear me. They say, ah, oh, it's kind of boring. And they don't tell me directly, but I know. I used to be there. You want excitement. That's why the news. You put the news on, you get excitement. Killing, shooting, suicide bombings, apocalypse, the world is ending. You know, one guy said on a, one of the evangelists says, are you scared yet? You know, they put fear out there, and that becomes their entertainment. So a lot of folks, even right now, you know, I see people who are listening to my show right now. They come on, oh, yeah, four or five, six people, and they go away. Four or five becomes one, sometimes none. Because I'm not, you know, I don't talk about the news. I'm talking about how we can have the right kind of mindset to have happy, wonderful marriages, to have a happy, wonderful life. Yeah. Honest thinking. Be honest with yourself is the most difficult form of honesty. As you learn how to accept yourself as you really are, you can begin to laugh at yourself and applaud yourself for the major slip you made and the life transformation that you have also made. What are you really? You are an ever-changing, evolving human being with the imprint of addiction or controlling or abuse. All right, you got the imprint there. And the God-given potential and tools for the complete fulfillment of your life. That's also in Scripture. Again, tools for the complete fulfillment of your life. Okay? Yeah, ever-changing, evolving. Yeah, you're doing that. Because we're here to evolve. Look at the rose. You know, the rose is only meant to be one shape, you know, for you to enjoy the beauty of it being closed up like that. Or if it starts to bloom, it the first stage is supposed to freeze right there because you like the petals as they're forming in a certain position. You take pictures of it. You like that? No, the rose was created to evolve completely and then disappear. That's how we are. God created us to evolve. So we're supposed to become better and better and better as we grow and old. As we grow and then we get older, we're supposed to become better and better and better and better. Yeah. Like the new farmer learns how to plant that seed out there to get what he wants. He messes up. He might plant out of season or put the wrong seed in the wrong ground. After a while, you know, he talks to other farmers. He learns how to do it right and puts the right seed in at the right time and the right kind of water and gets the produce that he designed or he intended. That's how the human being is. We plant the right thought seed in, and we get the right result. But most of the time, we plant the wrong seed there. Yeah. So that's why it's important to understand we're ever-changing, evolving, and being honest with yourself. You're always sensitive to your emotions. To bring clarity to this point, I think about how a motion detector operates or a still body of water. Yeah. With the motion detector, it monitors the immediate area for any movement, and when movement is detected, it immediately sounds the alarm. It is the same with a still body of water. When any disturbance contacts the water, be it subtle or really obvious, waves will appear, indicating that the perfect state of peace has been broken. This is how the recovered, new sober mindset operates. Yeah, the new person, the transformed person. This new mind knows that because of the past dark imprint, new security measures have to be installed and maintained in order to have the kind of consistent peace and health that it is now subscribing itself to have. This new mindset is always on post, predators that may lurk around to cause havoc and discord. Anytime any of the old accepted characteristics come anywhere near our proximity, our security measures sound the alarm and let us know that the enemy is approaching. Isn't that wonderful? I'm trying to paint the picture for you, brothers and sisters. Yeah, honest thinking. In marriages, you have committed yourself to a monogamous, healthy, respectful, compassionate marriage. Let's suppose your mate, one, makes a mistake affecting you. Two, says something vile and ugly to you. Three, does something in a minor way that does not reflect the best in themselves toward you. For speaks to you as if you were some other creature in your or a person in your own past life which has nothing to do with you now. makes a minor slip regarding their respect to you. Now, when any of these things happen, what is your response? Yeah, because you know the buttons will be pushed. Even God says, you believe? Okay, I'm going to test you now to see how you really believe. This is when those predators of the past come to remind you of what your old way of responding would be. See, we always got to have references in our lives for everything that we do. That's why it's important to read the scripture, you know, see the signs in the universe. And when things happen, our references are going toward what God has revealed for us. Yeah. How would God want us to respond to this person, or to this remark, or to this behavior? How would God want us to respond? If the prophet, you know, regardless of what prophet you follow, were right in front of us, how would we feel responding this way or that way? Yeah. So we can use any situation from our past lives to further illustrate the point I'm making right now. Absolutely. Yeah. It can be with drinking, where you are at a social gathering and someone is drinking the exact drink that you used to drink on a regular basis. I've been there. Yeah. Or you get into an argument with your mate and those old voices of abuse want to come and pay you a visit. Uh-oh. Or you go over to someone's house and there is a scent of marijuana, your old drug of choice, in the air, and your alarms go off. Yeah. See, this is when those voices of your past culture, your past history, want to talk to you and tell you what to do with this person or a situation. This is also when your new accepted ways of being are on guard to dominate your mind, thus not allowing anything else to come in as an influence. No matter what the triggers may be to test you, your security measures that you have in place will protect you. Oh, yeah. See, in being honest with yourself, you have to recognize when your guard is up and when your guard is down, or even starting to decline. For the sanctity of your new life, you have to constantly take assessment of your moral inventory. This is what is meant by being honest with yourself. Isn't that something? Hope everybody got that. That was honest thinking as opposed to dishonest thinking. So I say again and again and again, I'll keep repeating this mantra over and over. We have to plug into the right socket, brothers and sisters, to get the juice that we want. Got to plug into the right socket. Too many of us, me included, we're plugged into the wrong socket. And we start feeding the lower self instead of the higher self within. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is why it's so important to do what I'm doing now. So I came to recovery. Yeah, I came to recovery. And I was just an artist, just a musician before. I'm still a musician now. But now, my second passion now is to give back, to provide tools of transformation so others can have a life of abundance, a life of fun and life where they feel that they're in control. They love to dance and sing and be okay with that, you see? Yeah. This is why when I was finishing my program, God just drew me into the field of counseling. I became a mental health counselor, then drug counselor. I even had a certificate for called dual diagnosis counseling. I was certified to teach those who had drug problems and mental health problems together. So therefore, I was trained to know what I was looking at. Well, I was looking at a symptom of being intoxicated, or was a symptom of a certain kind of mental illness. So I was trained in that area. So I had that too. So because of my 20 years of experience in this field, yeah, they qualified me, and I wrote this book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to This Child Self, to Your Child Self. When I say child self, I'm talking about the little self you once were, your younger self. That's what I'm talking about. And sometimes you see on Facebook, what would you say to your younger self? Well, my book teaches you how to say the right things in the right position as a counselor, as a mentor. Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's why, you know, I have, you know, 14 chapters. The process you go through, you know. I'm doing a little aside right now because of the topic of the marriage. First chapter in process is forgiveness. I talk about that here too. Validation is next chapter. And these are also the steps you take. Self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery. Identifying and managing emotions. The last chapter, how to be the mentor to your child self. Basically, I'm talking about how you can go back in time. Oh, yeah, go back in time and create that fictional character, mentor, you. You'll be placed next door to your family, and you'll mentor and be that big friend to yourself you once were. Just picture yourself. Say if you're 45 right now, and you are maybe put yourself at 6 years old, okay? And your mother was say your mother was 25, okay? Your father was 30, okay? There you go. All right. So now you're actually talking to your child self, your 6 year old child self. Your child self is coming next door to talk to you about different things he or she went through, you know. And you go through it. And if your child self says, "Hey, you know, Mr. Muhammad, my older sister, you know, hit me upside the head or socked me in the eye. I got a black eye from her, you know. Hey, what's going on here? You know, she never apologized or anything." And you say, "Well, hey, come here, man." You know, you embrace your child self and you look your child self in the eye and say, "Look, I love you. And I'm going to make sure nothing bad happens to you. Okay? Your sister has no right to hit you like that. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to talk to her." So you have a scene. So you create that. You know, Kurt Obens, you're talking to the sister. Say, "Hey, your younger brother was hurt behind you, hitting him like that. Apologize to him. You know, I know you didn't mean it. Apologize to him. Let him know you love him. It will never hurt him ever again." Okay? You do that because you love him. And your sister says, "Oh, I didn't know, Mr. Muhammad. I'll do it." And the next scene, she apologizes to you. You know? You feel good behind that. So the next scene, he comes next door and says, "Mr. Muhammad, guess what? She apologized to me, and she said she loved me even. Wow. What did you say to her? I feel good. And Mr. Muhammad says, I had a talk with her, and she's okay now. Are you okay? "I'm fine, Mr. Muhammad. Thank you very much." Right? Now, if that's true in your life, what just happened? That burden of you being hit by your sister is already gone. It's gone. So you might have been abusive to women behind that one incident that you had at 6 years old. Now, it no longer bothers you. It's no longer an issue. It's a moot point. All right? So now you have no reason, you have no inclination to beat up on anybody. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, my book here, Reconnected, it gives you the tools so you can do exactly that. It might sound like spooky stuff to you. It works. I did it in my own life. People have done it. You know, over 300 books have been sold out there already, and it's in Germany and countries like Singapore and Brazil and South Africa and Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Bangkok, and Australia, Canada, United Kingdom. They all have tuned in at one point or another. And so it's important, you know, to understand when tools are here right in front of you, get it. You might say, "Well, it costs $20. Hey, we're talking about investment in your life to get your life in order so you can have tools to have the best marriage, have the best kind of life, huh? A life of freedom and possibilities, happiness and enjoyment. You're saying $20? What? You waste that in a week period of time. All right, so my website, cloudsofabundance.com, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, get it. If you go to Clouds of Abundance, I have a nice welcome video there. listen to that 11-minute video, and I'll actually sign in and give it back to you, mail it to you myself if you go there, okay? And enjoy it. You know, have a new life. You know, everybody wants a new life. I'm telling you, right here we'll give you the tools. But you got to, you know, you got to want it. You have to want it. You have to be hungry. Hungry for this. Not passively saying, well, that'll be nice. You know, that'll be nice. No. You got to be hungry for this. And want it. You know, it's like I want recovery. I was so mad about my addiction. I said, I went through 12 steps all by myself. And that's what something I don't recommend for anybody to do. I was so self-motivated and driven to get a new life. I said, man, if I don't do nothing else in my life, I'm going to complete this program. I'm going to do it. I went on a 7-day fast. I did the Master Cleanser. Y'all hear about that with the maple syrup and the cayenne? I did that. I detoxed the drug from my system. My body no longer needed it in 7 days. I went through it myself. I was determined. I wrote letters of forgiveness. I asked my mother to forgive me for all the things I did in her house, having dope in her house and all that. So I did all that. I was determined. I wanted a new life. I don't care what the cost is. I did it. I couldn't stand what I was doing, hurting people and doing all this and having poisons around me and all that and selling poison to people. I said, no more. No more. So I wanted a new life, and I got it, and I helped people. I created programs for children and adults. I was a community activist in the Bay Area. Huh? Now this book is out. Now everybody can get the tools here. I have a lot of stories from clients that have gone through this and have, you know, that you can identify with. Whole idea is to identify with something here and get it out of the way, like I'm talking about the character defects now. Identify with some of these, or all of them. Tell yourself, I don't want that anymore. I want the positive counterpart. I was just talking about it. Honest thinking, you know, forgiveness and tolerance. Love unconditionally. That I talked about today. Say, that's the only thing I want in my life. I'm going to have that and that by itself. That's all I will accept. And once you do that, you'll chart a new course for you. Then when you go to lectures, you go to your religious services, you will hear the right messages that are being given to you instead of this filter you have, the filter. You know, we have these filters on. You see, it's got to go by way of the judge, which is the old voices. You know, that's not for you. Who is that person talking to you like that? Don't listen to that person. Yeah. But this way, the slate will be clean and you will receive all the good you're supposed to receive. And this will be the building blocks for a new life. Yes, building blocks for a new life. And that's what we need to have. All right? Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to stop right there. But we're going to talk about procrastination. We're going to talk about all those things, guilty feelings, all those things come up next week. So we're going to have part 16 next week. So I implore everybody, please tune in for Marriages Part 16. And like I've always said, you know, if you want to tune in, you know, you want to ask questions, you can just push number one on your telephone pad and ask questions or comments, or leave something on the chat board when you listen live online. You see, you can do it that way. And you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. My website, cloudsofabundance.com. My show, The Reconnected Show, every Saturday. Talk show. I'm just the host, so I don't speak that much on there, except for the beginning where I do a commercial about my book. That is blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And the telephone number there, a lot of you like to call, 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. All right? And you can listen like you do to this show. Okay? So there you go. Okay, so with that in mind, look, I'm telling you, everybody, please hear this message again over and over and accept only thing in your life that is life-giving and health-promoting. Nothing else is acceptable. Just tell yourself that. It's all you're going to accept into your life. Once you accept only that, you'll see that your life will be fruitful. If you have more abundance of all the good, you'll be prosperous in so many areas. Then you'll say, man, I could have had this a long time ago. That's okay. You have it now, and that's the most important, to have it now. Forget about what happened in the past. Reconcile those things, but live now. Tell yourself you deserve it, and you're going to have it. You deserve it, you're going to have it. Tell yourself that. I deserve it all. I deserve to have a life of peace and happiness. Tell yourself, I am healthy. I am happy. I am deserving of the best. I am deserving. I am receiving money from known and unknown sources. Tell yourself that. You might get a surprise check. Okay, with that in mind, we'll close the program out. So I leave with the peace that only God has to be with you. Okay? Peace and assalamu alaikum.